is read this morning from Luke chapter 23.
今天我们会从路加福音的23章开始看。路加福音新约。
And we'll read from verse 13.
然后我们从13节开始读起。
And we'll read down to verse 31.
然后读到31节。Chapter 23, right?
23, yes.
From
13 to 31.
13到31. 23章，路加福音23章。大家都翻到了吗？23章，然后13节到31节。13节到31节。好，我们先顺着往下读哈。那个我先读13节哈。比拉多传齐了祭司长和官府并百姓，
就对他们说，你们解这人到我这里，说他是诱惑百姓的。看哪，我也曾将你们告他的事在你们面前审问他，并没有查出他什么罪来，
就是希律也是如此，所以把他送回来，可见他没有做什么该死的事，
故此我要责打他，把他释放了。
众人却一起喊说，除掉这个人，释放巴拉巴给我们。
这巴拉巴是因在城里作乱杀人下了监狱的。
比拉多愿意释放耶稣，就劝解他们，
无奈他们喊着说，钉他十字架，钉他十字架。
这是我们读吗？
对。
比拉多愿意释放耶稣，就没有劝解他们，无奈他们喊着说，
没事。
22。比拉多第三次对他们说，为什么这人做了什么恶事呢？我并没有查出他什么该死的罪来，所以我要责打他，把他释放了。
他们大声吹逼比拉多，求他把耶稣钉在十字架上，他们的心就得了胜。
对，
比拉多这才照他们所求的定案，把他们所求的那作乱杀人下在监狱里的释放了，把耶稣交给他们，任凭他们的意思行。
带耶稣去的时候，有一个古利奈人西门从乡下来，他们就抓住他，把十字架跟在他身上，叫他背着跟随耶稣。
有许多百姓跟随耶稣，内中有好些妇女，妇女们为他嚎啕痛哭。
耶稣转身对他们说，耶路撒冷的女子，不要为我哭，当为自己和自己的儿女哭，
因为日子要到，人必说不生育的和未曾怀胎的，未曾乳养婴孩的有不乱。
那时人要向大山说，倒在我们身上，向小山说，遮盖我们。
他们
谢谢。
他们正在树木青绿的时候做这些事，那么在枯干的时候将会怎样呢？
OK、
yeah. I'm just going to have a little review about the trial of the Lord Jesus.
我们先稍微回顾一下耶稣受审判的这段过程。
There were three groups that gathered together that morning.
那天有三批人在耶稣面前聚集。
Three groups, distinct groups of people.
三个非常鲜明的一群人，三群。
First of all, there was the priests, the religious, the religious authorities of Israel.
第一呢是祭司，也就是宗教阶层。
Israel, you remember, they received Abraham's promises.
以色列呢，你们都知道，他们承受了亚伯拉罕的，从亚伯拉罕而来神给他们的应许。
They also received the law from Moses.
他们也从摩西承受了神赐下的律法。
The law was God's righteous requirements for man.
因为律法就是神对人公义的要求。
And Israel was a separate nation from all the other nations of the world.
以色列是和其他国家在神眼里是分别开来的一个国家。
See, God didn't just choose Israel out of the nations. He chose one man to become a nation.
上帝并不是从以色列从一个国家从其他国家里面单独拉出来，他是先选择了一个人，从这个人生出了以色列国。
And so he chose Abraham.
他选择了亚伯拉罕。
Abraham had a son Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons.
亚伯拉罕生了以撒，以撒呢生了雅各，雅各生了十二个儿子，成了十二个支派。
And so God created a nation, a special nation, where He would reveal Himself to this nation.
上帝呢特别从他们就拣选了这么一个国度，然后目的呢是让他把自己，上帝把自己启示给这些人。
And they were to be a light to the Gentiles, to all the rest of the nation.
然后他会成为剩下的国度的，就像光一样。那他以色列国在神眼里应该是那个光。
And so all the nations around would be able to look at Israel, how God blessed this people.Who worship the true and living God?
剩下的国度，其他的国家呢，就应该能够借着以色列看见上帝是怎么对人，啊，怎么跟他们的爱的关系，对他们如何的慈爱的。
Now, although there were individuals within the nation that obeyed God and believed Him, as a nation, they had rejected God Himself.
所以，即使呢，我们回顾这个以色列的历史，虽然在这个他们国度的当中有很多。也是很属神的人，很顺服的人，但是整个国家按照一个整体呢，他们实际上是很悖逆的，常常远离神。
And they just lived for themselves. They had the outward form of religion without the true knowledge of God within.
他们常常生活在自己的情欲里面，他外表有一个敬虔的样式，但是里面实际满了败坏。
And so God sent prophets.To try to turn the people back to the truth.
所以上帝就在这长时间里不停地派先知，努力想把他们挽回来，回到真理上来。
And much of the Old Testament in the prophets is God speaking to the nation, calling them back to Himself.
所以旧约里面很大的篇幅是上帝借着先知跟整个国家说话，要把他们从败坏的状态下拉回来。
And God's authority in the nation was taken by the religious rulers, and it became their nation rather than God's nation.
所以呢，上帝在地上设置的这个这些祭司阶层呢，就成了代表上帝的那个权柄，然后他们就窃取了这样的一个权柄。让使这个国度不成为上帝的国度，而成为他们的国家了。
So God had to put Israel aside, and they were taken over by the Gentiles.
所以这就是这个背景，上帝要把以色列先撇到一边，然后呢，再把外邦人当时的所谓外邦人呢，放到他恩典的范围里来。
First the Babylonians, then the Persians, the Medes and the Persians.Then the Greeks, and now when we open up the scripture into the New Testament, we find that the ruling authority over Israel is Rome, the Roman Empire.
然后我们看见几个国度啊，地上的国度，外邦人的国度，先是巴比伦，那接着是马代波斯，那接着又是希腊，那最后呢，到耶稣，这个时代呢，统治当时全地的就是罗马帝国。
But the religious authorities, they still ruled over the people because a lot of people, we're naturally religious. We naturally want to believe something.
但是呢，当时的祭司阶层啊，宗教阶层还是统治着，以色列民，因为整个以色列民他们很自然的还是愿意相信，一些什么东西啊。所以虽然是他们远离上帝，但他们还是愿意相信宗教。
And so God finished sending prophets. to Israel to try to bring them back.
上帝不再派先知去把他们挽回了。
And for 400 years, God never spoke to the nation of Israel.
所以在耶稣来之前的400年里面呢，上帝没有借先知跟以色列人说任何话。
And although they tried to fight to regain their freedom, the Gentile powers were too great for them.
即使他们很努力在这400年努力想脱离被殖民的状态，但是外邦的殖民力量太大，他们做不到。
They were being punished by God for their rejection of His word.
然后他们会因着这个呢，因他们的悖逆被神来惩罚因着他们拒绝神的话。
And not following His laws.
不跟从他的律法。
So then he just, God, in the fullness of time, it says, sent His own Son.Into the world, and the idea of God was that they would be able to, if they saw His own Son, God manifest in the flesh, they would believe Him.
所以呢，圣经说呢，在时候满足的时候，上帝就把他的儿子差到地上来，希望所有地上的以色列民看见他的儿子呢，能够悔改。
And the Lord Jesus, right?From the very beginning of his ministry, came into conflict with these religious authorities.
但是呢，在耶稣来开始服事的一开始，就和宗教阶层产生了剧烈的冲突。
They would not give up their authority.
因为宗教阶层不愿意放弃他们的权利。
Even though he showed who he was through his power in miracles, through his wonderful words, his teaching, yet they would not believe him.
即使耶稣在那时候通过他所行的那么多的神迹那么多的大能通过他讲道里面的大有能力的话语和爱显明了他的身份但是宗教阶层依然拒绝他。
And so they realized the religious rulers, the priests, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all realized that ifThe nation believed in Jesus, they would lose their power.
所有那些宗教阶层，也就是那些法利赛人、那些撒杜该人、那些祭司、那些讲律法的文士，他们都意识到呢，如果整个民众跟随了耶稣，那他们的权力就全部丧失了。
Notice verse 13, it says.
所以你会看见13节说
，Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. The chief priests, just to remind you that the chief priests, they were the ones that controlled the temple, ministry.
所以比拉十三节呢，比拉多传齐了祭司长和官府并百姓。我提醒大家，这里的祭司长就是那个管理圣殿的那个头和整个宗教的头。
They controlled.The money changers in the temple, because pilgrims came from all over the world and they would need to exchange their money.
然后他们也控制了圣殿的那个买卖银钱的生意，因为各个地方的犹太人，他们都会到这个耶路撒冷来敬拜，那他们都需要在圣殿换钱。
Because the Jews were scattered all over the world, they used to come up to Jerusalem, especially at Passover time.
所以因为犹太人当时分散在全地，那他每到像大节、像逾越节这样，他们要回到耶路撒冷来。
And they would have to purchase sacrifices.
然后他们必须要用钱来买祭司，买祭牲来献祭。
And have their money changed.
然后呢，他们要在这个买那个牛羊祭牲的时候，他们要换钱。
And the chief priests, they had a monopoly.They were the only business in town.
然后呢，祭司和这些宗教阶层，他们是有在这个圣殿的生意上是垄断的。
And so they charged the people a lot of money.
然后他们在这个生意上，收了那个这些人很多，这些其他的人很多钱。
And so that they made a lot of money out of the temple business.
然后他们在这个圣殿生意里面赚了好多好多钱。
So they're.Their motivation then. Why then did they hate the Lord Jesus so much? Because, as they said, He will take away our nation, not God's nation. They'll take away our nation, the Romans will.
所以你会看见这里面深层的动机这些人如此强烈的反对耶稣的深层的动机就是什么呢？他们认为耶稣会把他们的国度抢走，而不是神的国度，因为他们的国度是在圣殿的生意的基础上的，是要赚钱的。
So their greed for riches and their greed for power made Jesus their enemy, because they knew that if they believed in him and the nation believed in him, he would do away with all that priesthood.
所以他们里面那个深层的贪婪，对钱、对权势的贪婪，导致他们肯定要与基督为敌，与耶稣为敌。因为如果民众跟随耶稣，他们的生意就完蛋了。
And so the religious groups, they were one of the groups there at the cross.
所以祭司阶层、宗教阶层是当中的一群，在耶稣被钉死的时候，当中一群人。
That are the at the cross and that were responsible for the trial of the Lord Jesus and his conviction.
就是那三群人是要为耶稣被审判和钉死负责的那三群人，他们是当中一群。
And you recall that he had a trial, a religious trial, and they had brought false witnesses to try to find a reason whereby they might put him to death.
所以你们都会记得我们前面分享过，他们有一个宗教的审判对耶稣这个审判上他们找了一些假见证，努力想找到耶稣的这个罪证，想来治死他。
They had already determined that he would be put to death.
他们已经决定了虽然没有理由，他们也已经决定了要先杀掉耶稣。
Before they actually had a trial.
在他们真正找到理由去审判他之前。
What kind of trial is it when the sentence is passed before the evidence is heard?
这是什么样的审判呢？审判的判刑都已经定了，在证据没找到之前，这个结论都已经有了。
They hated him.
原因就是他们是太恨他了。
They didn't care what reason. They would use any reason.To get rid of it.
他们是也不介意什么原因，反正任何原因，杀了他就行。
There's another group there, though, besides the Jewish religious leaders.
所以还有一群人，除了这个祭司阶层。
There were the Gentiles.
他们是外邦人。
We all belong to Gentile nations.
我们都是外邦的国度。
Are we guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ?
我们是不是对耶稣的死也是有罪的呢？
We'll see that today. That's going to be brought out.
我们今天会分享这个内容。
Because it was our sins that put him there.
因为是我们自己的罪使他死在上面。
It wasn't, there's no innocent. We are all guilty before God.
因为没有一个义人在神面前，我们都是有罪的。
The scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory.
因为圣经说呢，我们都是罪人，亏缺了神的荣耀。
And the glory of God was there in Jesus. He is the glory of God.
神的荣耀就在耶稣身上，那他过去是，他现在是，将来也是神的荣耀。
Now the Gentile...Under the Gentile nations, under the Romans, they were the ruling authority in that part of the world at that time.
然后外邦的权柄呢，在那个时候，事实上他是真正的，管制这个地方的最高权柄。
Now, turn to just keep your finger in Luke here, and we'll go to Romans chapter 13.
我们先这个先留在这儿，我们先去罗马书的。十三章看一下。
And we'll read, just the first two verses, I'll get long to.、Yeah.To read the first two verses in Mandarin.
Okay. 罗马书的十三章一到二节 Chapter 13, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 在上有权柄的人人当顺服他， 因为没有权柄不是出于神的，凡掌权的都是神所命的，所以抗拒掌权的就是抗拒神的命，抗拒的必自取刑罚。
So here we see in Romans that important statement, there is no authority except that which God has established.
所以我们从13章的前两节看见，没有任何的权柄不是神设立的。
And then it's reiterated in the next sentence, the authorities that exist have been established by God.
所以因为凡掌权的都是神所建立的，神所命令。
So the Roman authority in that day then had a responsibility to God himself.
所以在当时的罗马管制的那个政权呢，他们是有责任向神负责的。
Every government, regardless of whether they believe in God or not, are going to have to answer to God for the way that they have carried out the government that God has given to them.
所以任何的国家，无论他是不是相信有神，那他们都应该向天上的神负责，在他们管理国度的时候，他必须得对得起这个神给他们的托付。
Now in China, the rulers there, I understand, don't believe in God.
对，比如说像中国掌权者，他是不相信这个上帝。
But someday each of them is going to have to stand before God and answer for their responsibility, how they carried out their government under God.
那每一个掌权者终有一天，他们自己要站在神的面前呢，要回答他是怎么样来管理全地的。
Now in the West, it's not much different.
在西方它完全不一样。
Because many of our leaders, they don't believe in God.
因为我们很多的领导，西方的领导人，其实他们根本不相信上帝。
But whether they believe in him or not, they're still responsible. They're going to have to answer someday.
对，虽然他们不相信，不管他们相信不相信，他们也有一天要站在神的面前，为他们所做的事情要负责的。
When they have to stand and they'll have to answer to the judge of all the earth.
当他们站立的时候呢，他们要为他们在地上的这一切，他行权力 和行审判的这个事情负责。
So what we have in Pilate.
然后这里我们回去看那个路加福音。
Luke chapter 23.
路加福音的23章，这里的比拉多。
The priests and the chief priests and the priests, the leaders of the people, they bring Jesus to Pilate, who represents the highest authority on the earth in that day.
所以那个23章的13节这个背景就是他们祭司长们这个宗教阶层就把耶稣带到了比拉多，也就是在当时犹大帝最高的统治者的面前。
Pilate was not acting on his own. He was acting for Caesar, who was the emperor of the Roman Empire.
那比拉多并不是代表自己，他是代表凯撒，是罗马帝国的皇帝。
Now, you might ask, if the chief priests were motivated by hatred, what was Pilate motivated by?
如果你可能会问呢，如果祭司阶层他是里面的动机是因为恨耶稣，他要杀，那比拉多他里面的动机又是什么呢
？Pilate was not motivated by hatred.
他不是因为恨。
When he examined the Lord Jesus, he said to him there in verse 14, this is what he had judged. He had heard the charges brought against Jesus. He realized that the Jews hated him. They were envious of him because he had a power over the people. The people heard him gladly.
所以这14节你就会看见呢，其实比拉多详细查考了他们控告的原因，他们也理解到是因为祭司阶层他们嫉妒耶稣，害怕失去权柄， 而有的恨所导致要致死耶稣，所以比拉多并没有看见任何耶稣该死的理由。
And so on, it says here, you brought this man, he said to them, verse 14, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion.
所以14节他对比拉多就对他们说，你们解这人到我这里，说他是诱惑百姓的。
Now, to rebel against Roman authority was a very serious charge.
你要知道当时诱惑百姓反抗罗马帝国是一个非常重的罪。
However, he examined, he says, I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him.
但相反呢，比拉多这里后面就说，看呢，我也在曾将你们告他的事在你面前审问他，并没有查出他什么罪来。
No doubt, there was no reports, credible reports, that Jesus was calling the people to rebel against Caesar.
因为没有一个可信的报告能够指控耶稣是鼓动百姓们去造反的。
Just the opposite.
恰恰相反。
He, remember what he had taught in the temple.He said, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, but give to God the things that belong to God.
恰恰相反呢，他在圣殿里的教导是说呢，凯撒的归凯撒，上帝的归上帝。
And so, he wanted to release Jesus, it says.
他相反的，比拉多想释放耶稣。
Now he had heard that Jesus was from Galilee, the province to the north.
因为他也知道耶稣是从北部的那个加利利省来的。
And he wanted to get rid of the responsibility because when he wanted to release Jesus, the Jews said, no, 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 he's worthy of death.
他比拉多努力想撇清自己的这个责任，因为当他想释放耶稣的时候呢，祭司阶层都说不不不，一定要杀了他。
And this wasThe reason why Pilate was in Jerusalem at that time was because during the feast time when so many Jews were gathered together, that's when sometimes the people would be stirred up against the Romans.
原因呢，比拉多本来也不应该在耶路撒冷。那他当时在的原因就是因为在逾越节这么大的节气里面，大量的犹太人都聚集到耶路撒冷的时候呢，常常是因着这个会有可能被煽动造反的可能性，所以比拉多才那个时刻才会到耶路撒冷。
Now normally Pilate would be in his palace at down on the sea coast at Caesarea. That's where his headquarters were.
常常的比拉多是在他的宫殿里，也就是海边的那个该萨利亚的那座城，不是在耶路撒冷。
There's a bigRoman garrison there on the sea coast.
因为在那个海边呢，它有一个很大的罗马的城堡。
But during the feast time, in order to keep watch over Jerusalem with so many people there, he would bring up a number of soldiers, maybe a centurion of soldiers, 100 or more, and then he would take up residence in Jerusalem during the feast time.
所以在这种节期大的节期里面，那他会带领一队的军兵，可能100多个军兵，那从那个城堡出来，来到这个耶路撒冷驻守，确保当地的治安。
The same thing, King Herod, who was king of the country there and known as Galilee, he would also come down to Jerusalem to make sure, because a lot of Galileans came to Jerusalem.
同时呢，希律王就是北部的这个加利利国的希律王呢。那他也会跑到耶路撒冷来，确保他的民众从加利利来的那些民众呢，不会在耶路撒冷造反。
And that's why both Herod and Pilate were in Jerusalem at this time.
这就是背景原因，为什么同时你看见两个王，比拉多和希律王都在耶路撒冷，在那个时刻。
Now the Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but they kept yelling.That they wanted him to be crucified.
然后呢，比拉多特别想释放基督，但是呢，那些 当地的这个百姓呢，就一定的说要杀了他。
And so when Pilate heard that Jesus was from Galilee, he thought, "Ah, I know a way I can get rid of him and send him over to Herod, King Herod, and he can examine it."
所以你会看见呢，当比拉多一特别不想去杀基督，然后大家又嚷着要他杀的时候，他就想到好主意，那我就把他推给希律，因为耶稣是从加利利来的，是他的人，这样的话我就撇清点我的责任，省得我压力太大。
Because as the representative of Caesar, he should have upheld Roman law and released Jesus, whom he knew to be innocent.
因为呢，你会看见他的困境是他作为当地的最高治安官呢，他应该去持守他的法律，法律的要求就是要释放耶稣，因为他是无罪的。
He couldn't crucify an innocent man if the authorities in Rome found out, then he might be removed from being the governor of Judea.
就如果他致死了，甚至用十字架钉死了一个无辜的人，那如果被罗马最高当局发现了呢，他有可能会丢官的，会从这个位置上被挪走的。
On the other hand, if he released Jesus and the people stirred up a big riot, then they would hear that in Rome and they would say that he's not a good governor because the Jews are rioting. And so he would lose his position that way.
但是呢，相反的，另外一个情形，就假设他坚持神的坚持那个律法，他把耶稣释放了，这个时候呢，犹太人他会造反，会骚动，那这个带来的造反的这个事情呢，也一样会传到罗马当局去，那罗马当局就会认为呢，你这个总督当得不好，也还百姓也管不好，那他也一样有可能因为这种原因而丢官，所以他这两左右为难。
So what was he to do?
那他怎么办呢？现在
？We heard he was from Galilee. I'll send him to Herod.
然后他说：“哎呀，他是加利利来的，那太好了，我把他丢给他自己的父母官、地方官。
”See, his motivation was his own personal career, his own personal interest.
所以呢，我们这么一动分析，你就看出他的动机是什么呢？他自己的职场的这个，他的这个升官发财的这么一条通道，他的官位啊，他的权势。
What was best for Pilate? That was his decision.
所以什么样对我是最好，对比拉多最好的，这是他做决定的出发的角度。
And so he sends him to Herod.
所以他就把耶稣就送给这个希律去审判。
What was motivating Herod?
那希律的这个动机又是什么呢
？We saw what it was last time.
我们上次也分析过。
Verse 8 of that same chapter.
在第八节，在同一章的第八节哈。
He was greatly pleased for a long time. He'd been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped. Here's what it is. He hoped to see him perform some miracle.
希律就更有意思了。他第八节，他看见耶稣，他就很欢喜，因为他听见他的事很久了，久已想见他。为什么呢？因为指望看耶稣行一件神迹给他看看。
He just wanted to go to a circus. He wanted to be entertained.
他喜欢像看马戏团一样去娱乐一下，这是希律的动机。
It didn't mean anything to him.
其他的根本就他就丝毫不感兴趣。
And Jesus never answered one question that he asked him.
所以希律问的任何一个问题，耶稣都没有回答。
And so he sent him back to after mocking him.
所以呢，当耶稣没有回答，希律在戏弄、嘲弄耶稣一番以后呢，就把他送还给了比拉多。
He sends him back to Pilate.
送还给了比拉多。
And so he says there, Pilate says in verse 15.Herod has found no charges against him, and he sent him back to us, as you can see. He's done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him.
所以在15节里面呢，你会看见比拉多就引用了希律的这个审判。他说希律也是这样啊，所以没有看到他什么罪，把他送回来了。可见他没有做什么该死的事，所以我要责打他，责打耶稣，把他释放了。
Now at this point, Luke passes over that punishment because he did punish the Lord Jesus.
所以这里呢，耶稣在路加福音里面，他把耶稣受的责打呢就略过了但是耶稣的确是受了很重的责打。
He was hoping that by scourging the Lord Jesus, and that was a very serious thing, as we'll see, that the people then would have some pity on him, and that then he could let him go free.
所以他们很重的责打了这个耶稣啊，然后众人就很就围观的众人就很怜悯这个神。
他希望人们怜悯他，
希望他怜悯他，然后能够给他一个理由让他释放耶稣。
But to do this, to punish an innocent, a man he's just declared innocent, to punish him was against Roman law.
但同样的一个无辜的人，你没有任何理由去责打他，也同样违反了罗马律法。
No matter which way you turn, you find the trial of the Lord Jesus is unjust in so many different ways.
所以不管从哪个角度你看呢，审判耶稣的这个审判都是没有任何理由的，都是不合法的。
But as the evil thoughts of mankind only serve to bring out the love that God has for man.
所以我们看见人的罪恶的一切的想法里带出来的行为都最终都显明了神的无穷的爱。
We've been talking, the motivation of the priest was hatred, envy and hatred.
我们看见的祭司的动机是嫉妒，是恨。
Pilate's motivation was self-interest.
那比拉多是自己想到自己的官位。
But all that brings out is God's interest.
但这些都会引出神的动机。
His love for mankind.
他的爱给全人类。
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life.
因为神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。
It would be determined beforehand in God's counsels that he would send his son to be the savior of the world.
所以他会是神父神的旨意要把他的儿子赐下成为全世界的救主。
Now, the punishment that the Lord Jesus received from the Romans, we don't get any detail at all. He says, I will punish him, then release him. And, in Luke here, we don't get any account of that at all. But if you go back to the book of Mark, the book just before that, Mark chapter 15.
这个责打呢，这里路加福音讲得非常简略。那马可福音讲的详细一些，我们往回翻一个福音书，就是马可福音十五章。
Mark chapter 15 and verse 15.
十五章的十五节。
Now notice what Mark says in verse 12 then.
你们先看十二节，他是怎么说的。
What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked him. Crucify him, they shouted. Why?What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. So if we would read around the table verses 15 down to verse 20.
所以我们看到马可福音十五章呢刚才十二节往下你们看见比拉多又说怎么样那么所称为犹太人的王我怎么办他呢他们又喊着说钉他十字架。比拉多说为什么呢他做什么恶事呢他们便极力地喊着说把他钉十字架。之后就是他们责打耶稣的一个过程。那我们顺着往下读，从十五节读到 verse 20 right?
Yeah.
读十五节读到二十节。比拉多要叫众人喜悦，就释放巴拉巴给他们，将耶稣鞭打了，交给人钉十字架。
兵丁把耶稣带进衙门院里，叫齐了全营的兵，
他们给他穿上紫袍，又用荆棘编作冠冕给他戴上。
就庆贺他说恭喜犹太人的王啊
又拿一根苇子打他的头吐吐沫在他脸上屈膝拜他
戏弄完了就给他脱了紫袍人穿上他自己的衣服带他出去要钉十字架
So there we're introduced in verse 15 to the third group. There's the, we find there's the priests, the religious people, the authorities. We find there's the Romans, that's the Gentile authorities answerable to God, as well as the priests. But there's a third group, the multitude.
所以我们在第十五节看见了我们讲的三群人当中的最后一群，我们看见了祭司阶层宗教的，看见了比拉多当地官府的，最后一群什么百姓。
You can see how the priests are using the crowd to get their way.
所以你会看见祭司阶层是怎么样来鼓动百姓来达到自己的目的的。
What motivates the crowd?
那百姓的这个动机又是什么呢？
Anybody got a guess?
我们可能得猜一猜，你猜百姓的这个动机是什么？
他都做不了王了，要他干什么呢？
Jesus cannot be their king, so it's useless.
Yeah, but what motivates them? What they're there? Are they? Why are they there?
那些百姓在那里干什么呢？
Jesus saw miracles.
That's 希望看见耶稣能不能自己救自己的神迹显出来，看热闹。
When Eric saying, you know, what is their interest in being there? Okay, what are they interested in? Why are they there?
他们的兴趣或者他们的动机是什么？怎么把他们带到那个地方去的
？Now this man that they have been hearing about and seeing and experiencing and witnessing his teachings in the temple, his miracles everywhere. Will he conquer the Roman Empire with his power and his might? These people, they come to see what spectacle is going to happen. What will happen?
所以你可以想象这个耶稣在这之前的三年半里行了大量的神迹，甚至有死人复活，那这样的事情百姓们都看见了。所以百姓们围起来就想看他是不是能够在这种时候推翻罗马统治，达到百姓们想要的目的，是他们不想再做被殖民了。
So they have an interest to see what's going to happen.
他们是有一个动机想要看一下这到底会发生什么事。
Good point. Very good point.
非常好的点。
They're curious.
他们很好奇啊。
They had heard him teaching in the temple day after day.
他们已经听到耶稣是每天每天在圣殿里讲道。
And as Brother Jeet says, they had witnessed miracles or they had heard about his miracles.
就像我们这弟兄讲，他们看见也听见了很多的神迹。
Now, they had some of that multitude, at least some of them, must have come down a few days beforehand when he came into the city riding on a donkey, remember? As king. And they were singing to him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the king.
所以至少这百姓当中的一部分在几天前耶稣在进圣殿骑着驴驹进圣殿的时候呢，他们是一起在人群里面呼喊和撒那要赞美这个耶稣的那一群人当中的一部分。
And they had been caught up in the emotion of the disciples. The disciples, they were real believers and they believed in him as the king.
然后他们也真的相信他就是那个王，所以他们是在那样的情绪里面，在跟门徒们一样的那个心情里面，就相信耶稣就是那个要来的王。
And they were excited.
他们非常的兴奋。
And so there was among the multitude, they got caught up in the excitement.
所以呢，在这些人群里面，他们就进到了这种兴奋的情绪里面。他们终于等到了那个弥赛亚，那个救主。
But now he's standing there, and he's defenseless.
然后突然之间呢，耶稣站在那，是完全不抵抗的。
He doesn't defend himself.
他甚至也不为自己辩护。
He makes no defense with him. He doesn't.Try to get off the charges that are brought against him.
他不为自己辩护，也甚至不用任何方法把控告他的这个控告通通挡回去。
All the people that were saying witnesses against him, he didn't answer the charges.
所有那些做假见证要控告他的， 耶稣并没有去回应他。
The people then, their attitude began to change.
然后这些民众的态度就开始变化了。
This is the king, this weak, this weakling?
难道这个王，我们的王这么虚弱吗？这么不堪吗？
And so, the people there, the chief priests, they began to stir up the people.
然后呢，大祭司又在一边煽风点火来鼓动民众。
Against the Lord Jesus.
然后控告耶稣。
And so, what we find then, that, Pilate says, what shall I do then with the one called the King of the Jews? They said, crucify him.
这就是为什么十五节比拉多要叫说要叫众人喜悦就释放巴拉巴给他们要。十二节比拉多又说你们怎么办你们所称为犹太人的王他们就说定他十字架。
So the crowd now has, they're easily swayed, their minds are easily changed by circumstances.
所以民众他们的头脑是非常容易的就被环境切换了就改变了。
But, so Pilate wants to see, he wants to punish him so that they might pity him, that he might be able to release him, and then he would be his responsibility to Caesar in letting an innocent man go, he would discharge that responsibility.
所以呢，比拉多想要责打耶稣呢，其实是想激起民众们的怜悯心、同情心。但是呢，这样的话呢，比拉多就可以少一点责任。想当时对这个罗马当局交账的时候，他不会因为去杀一个无辜的人而受责罚。
Now it says there, he had Jesus flogged, verse 15.
所以这就是十五节说他就将耶稣鞭打了。
Now, just to understand what it means to be flogged, you maybe don't understand, it's good maybe we talk about this just a little, what this flogging really meant.
所以大家很可能不明白鞭打的意思，所以我们稍微花一点时间来让大家了解一下这鞭打是什么意思。
The Romans used to have a whip. It would have a wooden handle about this long.
然后呢，罗马有一种的鞭子哈，那它头子上呢是有这个手把上啊，它是有木头的手把，这手把大概有这么长啊。
And on the attached to the end of the handle, there were leather thongs, leather strips.
然后在那个手把的出头的地方呢，它有一个皮的那个条哈，有很长的一个皮条。
And these leather strips would be something like this long.
大概有那么长的那个皮条。
And on the end of each of those leather thongs or strips, they had a piece of bone, sharp bone or metal.
然后呢，在每一个皮条的最尾端啊，他们绑了一个小的金属片或者骨头。
So when it was brought down and whipped, it would the pieces they actually take pieces of skin out of the body.
所以呢，当你可以想象，这是一个木头，然后一个当中一个皮条，然后那个皮条的尾端是一个金属或者骨头。就每一次一抽的时候呢，那尾端的金属或骨头都会带走一块皮肤啊，
and so,
带走一块肉。
The flogging sometimes it resulted in the death of the person that was.
所以鞭打本身有的时候就会把人打死的。
Now the Jews, they would flog 39 times.
然后呢，鞭打的刑罚是39次。
But the Romans had no restriction.
然后呢，犹太人的这个鞭打的次数是一共只有39次，但罗马是没有上限的。
And sometimes the victims did not survive the flogging.
有的时候呢，人是没办法从鞭打里面活下来。
That's why we read in Isaiah chapter 53 that we are healed by his stripes. When they took that whip, it was like a strip of skin coming off each time. And you can't tell if that was his back or the insides of his body when they finished with him. They took all the skin. They ripped all the skin off of his back. And that's why it says in Isaiah chapter 53 that by his stripes we are healed.
这就是旧约先知书以赛亚的那个预言，他的以赛亚书53篇说呢，因他的鞭伤我们得医治。其实这是神给我们的一个应许啊，就是他不但是站在十字架上的死替我们赎了罪啊，那我们所有的病痛我们得医治的那个源头就是因他受的鞭伤。那他受的鞭伤不但是一鞭下去是皮肉之伤，他的整个里面的这个伤害也是非常大的。所以这就是那句经文的就是应验的地方，因他受的鞭伤我们得医治。
It was one of the cruelest things of punishment that man could do to another man.
这是所有最残忍的是惩罚里面对一个人对另一个人施行的惩罚里面，这是当中之一种啊。
And like Eric was saying that many people didn't survive this kind of torture. They died right there before they could even go to the cross.
就像 Eric 说的，很多时候很多人并没有机会能够活下来，在被鞭打的当时就死了。
We don't know how the body of Christ survived all the punishment that was put on it.
我们也不能想象基督的身体是怎么活下来在这样重的惩罚下面。
We read a little bit later that he was to carry his cross, and he couldn't carry his cross. He was so weak from all that punishment that another man had to come and take that cross.
因为我们之后就很快会读到。他必须得扛着自己的十字架，但以至于呢，在因为受的鞭伤，他如此虚弱，以至于他扛不动，所以必须罗马兵丁得拽另外一个路人，西门过来帮他扛这个十字架。
Even in the Lord's word that says that where sin abounded, the wickedness and the evil of man were it abounded, but the grace of God did more abound than their wickedness than their evil.
所以就像圣经描述的，我们的人的罪是如此的大，但是神的恩典比我们的罪还要大。
And it was an interesting thing that Eric was saying about governments and authorities, that God is the one who ordained these, and we would have chaos and we would have disorder in society if we didn't have governments, if we didn't have the law. God is the one who put that in.You can see the Middle East right now, what's happening there. There is no law, there's no order, there's no authority, there's no government. Everybody is killing everybody. And there's bloodshed everywhere. But we live in a country where there's a government. We have law, we have order, we have police, we have systems. It's a beautiful life. And that's the way God set it up for us.
所以你可以回到刚才 Eric讲到的这个政府和这个管制的事情上，是神设立的这样的一个制度啊，让政府在他有他的法律、有他的制度、有他的体系，来管理民众啊。你可以想想今天的中东，他没有政府、没有法律，人可以随意杀人、随意流血，完全没有平安。所以神很爱我们，给我们这样的一个体系，能够生活。
So when you see all these people there, and you see the Lord Jesus taking such a punishment, and these priests and Pharisees and all the rulers saying to the people, is this your king? Is this your king that healed the sick and brought people back to life again? He can't even help himself. How can he help you? So these people all of a sudden had a change of heart.This is not our king.
所以民众的态度的转变就是在这个背景下，恰恰不是比拉多所想的没有起了怜悯心，而是呢，当基督被鞭打了以后，那些祭司们他就开始挑拨民众说：“你看，这是你们的王吗？你看，他完全不能够保护自己，他完全没有力量带领你们推翻罗马统治。”那突然之间，整个民众的情绪就从特别深的盼望变成了极度的失望和愤怒。
See, generally speaking, men's hearts are selfish. And each one of these groups that Eric was talking about, they had their own special interests. Okay? They wanted things done because of their own benefit. Okay? So, they're saying, what benefit is this man to you? What benefit is he to you? Is he going to conquer the Romans and set his empire up and you'll have a position in his government? He can't even help himself. How is he going to help you? But they did not realize the love of God. The love of God, okay, that put his son through all that, that they might have life and have life eternal through salvation that Christ was going to offer through his death.
所以你会看见人本质上啊，根子上是很自私的。这三群人表现得非常清楚啊。那祭司阶层的这个恨，就是因为动了他们的生意；那比拉多就是因为要威胁到他的这个官位。那这些民众们在祭司的挑拨下面，其实就是让祭司就跟民众们说：“你看他也不能带你去推翻罗马统治，也不能让你建立一个新的国家，你好在里面当官。”一下子民众的这个心就完完全全变硬，然后他们完全眼瞎，他们看不见神真正的动机是要把他的爱带出来，要借着耶稣的死，替人类来赎罪，这个动机他们却完全看不见，因为他们在自己的自私和私意里面就完全眼瞎了。
See God's great interest. See God's in the picture here too. God has an interest too.These people had an interest, the religious people had an interest, and God is here in the picture too. He has an interest.
所以你会看见三群人有他们自己的目的和动机，那上帝也在这里，也在这个图像里面，他也有他自己的动机和目的，一个是自私的，一个是爱的。
His interest was for the love of the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
他的目的就是爱，那寻找来拯救那些失丧的人。
You see, it had been proven over and over through the law, the Ten Commandments, the governments, the kings, that man could not fulfill that perfect standard that God had made him to. They could not do it.
所以你看，整个神的爱的旨意就是当他。搬下了律法，搬下了十诫，然后经过那么长的时间，整个以色列人显明出来的，就是他们做不到，他们完全不能够做到上帝给他们的要求。
So God could see in our weakness that we could not fulfill His commandments. He sent Jesus to fulfill them. Even today, if you talk to anybody on the street, these people found no fault in Him. They tried Him over and over and over.They could not find any fault in him. And you know, the wife also said to Pilate, she said, have nothing to do with this man, this just man, she said. Just man.
所以即便今天你会看见所有的人，那当他仔细的查考，他们也找不到耶稣任何的问题。那上帝知道犹太人做不到，也知道全人类做不到这个律法。他的爱就带出来，他要替我们赎罪，来帮助我们能够成全律法，帮助我们能够从罪中能够得赦。那即便是比拉多的妻子，他都跟他的丈夫说，他说你不要伤害这个义人，他里面没有任何的罪。
See, God presented His Son to these people, to this nation, to the governors, to the Roman Empire. He presented His Son to them.And he was perfect. He loved people. He never did anything wrong. Nobody could say something against him and said, this is true, that he did this wrong or he did that wrong. Nobody could accuse him. Not even the devil could accuse him of anything wrong. He was perfect. And God presented him before the people. This is my son, in whom is all my delight.And that's the way he created mankind to be like that, to be like his son.
所以上帝就把耶稣摆在了我们面前，不但是因为救赎，也让我们看见在他里面全无罪孽。这就是他一开始造人的本意。然后他找不出细细查考，也找不出耶稣任何的罪呢。
Today he's still presenting his son. God is presenting his son to the world. And he's saying, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. His blood from the cross cries out to mankind today. I died for you. I died for your sins, that you might have peace with God. What will you do with my blood?
今天呢，神依然把他的儿子摆在我们面前，就他在十字架上所流的血，其实是向我们呼告，说，我们已经罪得赦了，能信靠他，然后我们跟神就能和好，这是他宝血的功效啊，能够把我们一切的罪从神面前的审判当中能够赎回来。
Okay, well, we've been looking at the flogging.
我们看了鞭打的部分。
There's an Old Testament prophecy concerning this, and we read there in verse, or Psalm 129.
然后有一个旧约的一个经文呢，可以讲到这个鞭打啊，诗篇的129篇。诗篇的129篇。
And verse 3.
三节。
Psalm 129, verse 3. The Spirit of God, oh, sorry.
就是讲到这个鞭打的情形啊，详细的这个情形，诗篇的129篇，三节是讲的最清楚的。诗篇的129篇，如果这本蓝本的圣经是1013页。
What we know in the New Testament, it just says simply that he was flogged or he was whipped.
我们读新约呢，他只是很简单的说他被鞭打了而已，他就这么一句话。
But here, over probably 2,000 years before, the psalmist had already seen by the Spirit of God what would happen to the Lord Jesus.
但是呢，在这件被鞭打事情的1000多年前，这个诗篇的作者就已经在圣灵的启示下，预言了最终这个鞭打会造成什么样的后果。
And the picture is a very cruel picture.
这是个非常残忍的景象。
And he talks there, the whipping is actually plowed furrows, as it were, upon his back.
他说这个鞭打就像那个犁呀。在背上犁过了一样。
You can read that in
Chinese.
Chinese, yeah.
Verse 3, right?
Yeah.
我帮大家读一下诗篇129篇的三节，他说：“如同扶犁的，在我背上扶犁而耕，耕的犁沟甚长。”
So, this was some of the predicted sufferings of the Lord Jesus.
这就是预言的一些神耶稣要受苦受的苦难的细节哈，就是在旧约的预言。
And so this, we have then the three companies of people, three groups of people.
现在我们把三群人都已经讲明了。
The religious authorities,
祭司。
The religious authorities who were supposed to represent God.
祭司本来应该代表神的。
The ruling Gentile authorities who were representing God's authority in civil government on earth.
外邦的统治阶层本来也应该代表神和代表这个地方的权柄的。
Then we have this multitude who benefit from all this order.That God has given.
然后也有一群民众，那他们完完全全是神的所建的这个秩序的受益者。
And they're facing a single man.
他们都面对同样一个人。
That man is none other than the lawgiver himself.
Oh yeah, 这个人呢，他其实就是给律法的那一个。他是律法的给予者。
Now, Pilate was still worried about this. He didn't want to. He was worried about his career. This would not look good on his resume if he convicted an innocent man.
对，比拉多还是很忧虑他的生这个官位哈，因为在他的简历上这个会很是个污点哈，如果他定死一个无辜的人。
If we go over to John chapter 19, we'll see there's a couple of other things that motivated Pilate.
如果我们再看一下约翰福音十九章呢，你就会看见比拉多还有一些自己的动机。约翰福音十九章。
And he wanted to, when the chief priests and their officials, verse 6,saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I don't find a basis for charge against him.
然后第六节哈，约翰福音十九章第六节，那祭司长和差役看见他就喊着说，钉他十字架，钉他十字架。比拉多说，你们自己把他钉十字架吧，我查不出他有什么罪来。
But the Jews insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God.
然后犹太人回答说，我们有律法，按那律法，他是该死的，因他以自己为神的儿子。
And then we read there, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid.
然后当八节就说，比拉多听见这话的时候，就更加越发的害怕。
And he, of course, why is he afraid?
为什么他害怕呢？
Because he's superstitious.
他其实是非常迷信的。
Someone claims to be God, that immediately he becomes fearful.
其实他非常迷信的。但突然有一个人自称为神，他突然就他变得非常害怕了。
And he asks him, "Where did you come from?"
然后他就问这个耶稣啊，你从哪里来啊？
But Jesus never answered.
然后耶稣却不回答。
And so, Pilate then says, "Don't you realize that I can set you free?" He says, verse 10.
Yeah, 在十节里面，比拉多说：“你不对我说话吗？你岂不知道我有权释放，有权柄释放你吗？”
But then Jesus tells him, "He said, your power comes from above. Therefore, the one who handed you over to me has."Guilty of the greater sin. That's Judas, of course.
十一节呢，耶稣回答说：“若不是从上头赐给你的，你就毫无权柄办我。所以那把我交给你的那人罪更重了。”
And so that the Lord Jesus here again, Pilate then continues to try to set him free. There's all these reasons, all these warnings to Pilate that God is giving, but he ignores them.
所以你会看见后面比拉多还是要想释放耶稣。这里呢又多了一个细节，就是其实比拉多一直有很多的从神而来的警告告诉他不要去钉死耶稣，但他都忽视了。
And then there was one more thing too. It was a personal message from God to Pilate.
还有一件事也是一个非常个人的信息。是上帝给到比拉多的。
And it came through his wife.
是从他的妻子来的。
Matthew chapter 26.
我们看一下马太。
Or 27.
马太福音的27章。马太福音的27章。Verse 19.
Verse 19, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know.Yeah, verse 19, if you read that.
Yeah. 马太福音的27章19节，就是这本蓝本的圣经56页哈，新约的56页。他这里说呢，正坐堂的时候，他的夫人打发人来说，这义人的事你一点不可管，因为我今天在梦中为他受了许多的苦。
And so Pilate had plenty of opportunities given to him,To stand up for the truth.
所以比拉多有很多很多的机会给到他，让他为了真理，为了正义而站立。
But he was a weak man.
但他真的里面是一个很软弱的人。
He was a cruel man.
也是一个很残忍的人。
He didn't care for the man that stood before him. He cared for his own self-interest.
他并不是很介意那个站在他面前的人。他介意他自己的里面自私的想法。
And so, he has one more opportunity to try and free Jesus.
然后呢，最后他还有最后一个机会，尝试着可以释放基督。
He's exhausted every means by which he can get out of the responsibility.
他已经想尽了一切办法，想努力的让他自己从这个两难的境况里能够脱身。
And it's now he's desperate.
啊，现在他有点抓狂了。
He says, "I'll." There was a custom that he had at the feast.
啊，然后呢，在当时有一个习俗哈，一个习惯，就是在逾越这个大的逾越节期的时候。
That's.
Luke 17.
Well, I'm in John. That's my problem. Hello.